Let's take our Bibles and turn to John chapter 14. We're going to look at the Lord's relationship to us as our encourager. We're going to explore our ways as being encouragers in His name, ways that we can expand our ministry and our ministries of being an encourager. I hope that you'll join us each and every week for this series as we work through the scriptures to see how God brings joy to our life and uses that joy to spill into the life of other people. This morning's message, though, starts off with a phrase in John chapter 14. The title is taken from John chapter 14, and the message is entitled, Another Comforter. Another Comforter. And as we go to the Lord in prayer now, I'm going to ask you to join me in prayer as we ask the Lord to bless our time in His Word. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to You this morning and we lift up Your name. I thank You, Jesus, for the sweet, sweet songs that we have sang this morning about Your Holy Spirit and Your relationship to us, the comfort, the encouragement that You give us each and every day. And we stand this morning thanking You so much for not leaving us comfortless, but sending Your Holy Spirit to us. A promise that the disciples received, the blessing that we as Your followers have, knowing that we are not forsaken, that we are not alone, and that the promise of the Holy Spirit, not only that, reminds us that You are coming again with promise. Oh Lord, today I pray that You would take the weights and the heavinesses in our hearts, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would begin to shape and fashion them, not as moments or episodes that beset us or weigh us down, but rather that You can use those opportunities to transform us into being light bearers and to be sunshiners, that You would use us as encouragers. Thank You, Lord, for Your encouragement to us. We ask these things in Your name. Amen. This message this morning has a one thought behind it, and there's going to be many thoughts attached to it, but this is the big idea this morning. When Jesus makes a promise, He keeps His promise. Church, can I get an amen on that? I'd like to tell you a story, though, as we start off, about the time I had a friend who went down to South America for a revival crusade, spent a week or two down there, and he came back from the crusade in Venezuela, and he brought to me a gift of, it just blew my mind that he was so thoughtful to me. He brought me back, not a souvenir. Oh, he did give me, I guess, one of the bank notes that they pass in exchange in the country. I couldn't even tell you what it was. I should have probably tried to find that one. But it's the gift that he gave me that I don't have anymore. It's the reason why I'm telling you about about this opening. It was a watch, and not just any watch. It was a very expensive Gucci watch. Now, I don't know if you understand anything about brands, and I typically get excited about brands a little bit because I know you're going to pay a lot for a name, but it was supposed to be a really, really good watch. He brings me back this watch, and he gives it to me, and I am floored that my friend would do something so thoughtful to me. I mean, it was Gucci. It didn't say Gucci. It didn't have some kind of strange spelling on it. It looked like a watch that I had seen when I was working at the department store, working behind the jewelry counter. It was a very high-end watch. I knew what the value of the watch had to be. Not that Montgomery Ward, where I worked, sold that brand, but as I would go to the more upscale department stores to look at their what they had to offer, I saw this watch in a department store, and I knew the price of it, and it was amazing that he was able to get it for me. And he tells me, and I thank him. I thank him profusely. And I said, thank you so much. This is really amazing that you did this for me. He said, don't worry, I didn't give too much for it. That was the warning, right? Should have known right then and there that it was too good to be true. And it was too good to be true. The watch itself looked like the real, genuine artifact. But the weight of the watch was a little bit off. The leather strap that was on the watch band looked authentic, and yet I would have a problem with getting green bands around my wrist as I wore that watch. not just where the leather caught me, but where the metal from the watch itself watched me. And this is in the steamy atmosphere, the steamy seasons down in Florida. I would always take off my watch and look like I hadn't washed my wrist in a couple of days. It would just look so dirty. I took it to the jury department because it stopped working, and I knew it probably needed a battery. So when I was home for Christmas break, I decided I was going to try to replace the battery. And my manager was just so overwhelmed to see that me working for him. He knew what my salary was, and this was back in the day when you worked for minimum wage, and minimum wage was just $3.25 an hour back in those days. And how in the world I afforded that, he knew not. I didn't tell him the story behind it. He just looked at it on my wrist, didn't notice the green residue, greasy residue around my wrist, but he looked at it and he said, "Wow, there's a story there you need to tell me about." I said, "Well, it's not working, but I need to replace the battery." So we step back behind the counter and I'm replacing the battery in the watch. And I open it up and he says, "Oh, that's a knockoff." He could tell right away because the movement inside of it was not a high-end movement. As a matter of fact, it was a very small little cheap movement that you would find in any fashion jewelry that you find anywhere where cheap jewelry is sold. He recognized it right away, but it was a really good knockoff. We put the lid back on the back of the watch, closed the case, and I wore it, and it continued to work until it didn't work. I remember one day I was working with it, and it was on my wrist, and it was irritating because that was the characteristic of this really good knockoff, that it looked like the real thing, but it stopped working again. And I wasn't going to wear a watch just to be wearing a watch, so I slipped it in my back pocket, took it off, put it in my back pocket. I am notorious for not checking my pockets before I put things in the laundry. And I ran that watch through the washer. I was amazed what was in the back of my pocket when I pulled my pants out of the drawer. Now, mind you, whenever I washed clothes in college as a young man, it was 75 cents a load. And I would make sure that I took a week's worth of laundry and crammed it down inside that washer to make it because it was a load, right? I would fill it up. Sometimes I would pull my clothes out and they'd still be dry in places because the water hadn't penetrated because I had packed it so tight. This particular week, I must have been a little bit lighter because the pants that I was wearing and the watch in the back pocket, when I realized as I was folding my clothes that watch was in my back pocket, it was just a pile of components. It didn't disintegrate because it was made out of some cheap metal. That was evidenced by the green on my finger or on my wrist. But the watch itself, it was just a pile. Everything that it did not look. There was no way to repair it. The symbol, the little tag, the logo on the face of the watch was all washed away. There was nothing there, and it was apparent to me. Not only was it a really good knock. It was a really good knockoff. No, it wasn't. It wasn't a good knockoff. It wasn't even a great knockoff. It was a bad knockoff because once it went through all of the trouble of being inside the washing machine, it just reduced down to a pile of junk. I discarded it, but I still think about that watch from time to time because it was the one time that I thought I got something for nothing. And this morning, as we move into the series this morning, you know, a real knockoff is not really the same as the original. Have you ever tried to cut a corner or tried to substitute something, maybe knowing full well that you are getting a knockoff, trying to save some money? I know that there are vendors around town that will sell high-end pocketbooks for ladies that if you look closer under scrutiny, you realize it looks close, but it's not the real thing. That's probably evidenced, too, by the fact that they're selling it for just a few dollars and that it doesn't last very long. But a really good knockoff or even any knockoff is never really the same as the original. It's because you do not get something for nothing. We understand that. We can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool some of the people. You can fool all of the people some of the time, but you can't fool some of the people all of the time. I hope I said that one right. Got that one confused there. I don't mean to knock off on that saying, that tagline there, but you know, you do not get something for nothing. You get what you pay for. When you get what you pay for, That is getting what you deserve. I have been tempted as a husband to try to find my wife some knockoffs, knowing full well that it might buy me a little bit of relief, but at the end of the story, I'm going to have to replace the thing that I bought or tried to substitute. The real trick is trying to replace it without her noticing that I've replaced it, but my wife's very astute. And the thing that gets me most about anything that you and I were trying, even if it was the real watch, though, had my friend given me a real watch, the real watch would still have needed servicing by a repairman, because anything that you and I could put our hands on is something that is going to break down. It's not going to last. That's because these hands, that's the best that these hands can do. You look down at your hands, you look at my hands, we realize and we understand that the limitations of our humanity, of our skills, no matter how well intended, there is nothing that you and I can do that is enduring or lasts forever. But yet, as believers and followers of Jesus, we give our best to Him each and every day, or so we should. That is the model for the normal Christian life, believers that are fully committed, serving Jesus each and every day. And it's the weight of having to know that there is not going to be easy moments in life. That sometimes you and I, even though we are well-intended and you and I, our hearts are committed to serving Jesus, does not mean that we will not experience or encounter moments where those moments are so overwhelming that our heart will be troubled and that our faith will be shaken. There's a real opportunity for each and every one of us to realize that we have a repair shop. And we have a repair man who is looking after our hearts. You know, oftentimes we wait for things to break before we do maintenance. And I can understand why, because it costs a lot of money to do maintenance, regular scheduled maintenance. And yet, I want you to know that right here, right now, today, in this room, that the repairman, I do not mean to use that word lightly or irreverently, but the Holy Spirit is here today. Jesus is here today. And that the weights and the problems that you and I face that really reveal what's on the inside, really reveal the genuine quality or character of our faith, it's something that can be fixed, repaired here today. And I am grateful for the Holy Spirit's guarantee. It may not always be easy, and we may not always stay on track, but please know that there is relief and there is hope and there is grace here today in this room. And it's in John chapter 14 that we look and we see the promise of another comforter. I'm looking at John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21 that we just read. It is a section where we're going to focus on just a couple of verses, but in the context of what Jesus is revealing and telling and speaking to his disciples, there's some confusion that could center around as what we are looking at the arrangement that Jesus is making for his disciples. I want to address that But this, again, is a moment where the disciples will be hearing Jesus telling them yet again that he's headed to the cross, that he's going to give his life a sacrifice. And in the 3 days ensuing Jesus on the cross, before the Sunday morning resurrection revelation, there will be great hopelessness, great angst for the disciples who will be coming to terms with the reality that their life, their ministry has been shattered, has been fragmented because of the events that they've witnessed the night before the day of the cross, that Jesus would go to the cross. And we look in John chapter 14, verse 15, where Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And we enter into, I think there's a possibility that we enter into reading John chapter 14 with the idea of the quid pro quo. I don't mean to throw around some words this morning that may be unfamiliar to you. That's a Latin phrase. It translates literally to something for something. When you and I do something, whenever you and I enter into an arrangement, into a work relationship or a sales relationship or whatever a relationship that you and I enter into, we understand that the trade-off of the transaction. I give you something, you give me something in return. You give 5 pesos to this vendor down in Caracas, Venezuela, and he will give you a watch that's not worth 1 peso. That's the arrangement I think that was to be taken away. And I know it wasn't pesos, but please forgive me for that. But the idea of the quid pro quo, that if you love me, if you keep my commandments, there is something that you get. And I do understand, as we're talking about relationship with Jesus, the importance for us as believers, the relationship that you and I have to serve Jesus. And in a sense, there is a quid pro quo being described here. If you keep my commandments, if you love me, if you keep my commandments, Jesus says, I will pray the Father, and he'll send you another comforter. But I want to understand, and I want you to understand this morning, that our relationship with Jesus is greater than we would ever try to earn the promise and the comfort that Jesus gives us. Because it was not our worthiness that brought Jesus to the cross. It was our sinfulness that put him there. It was his love that kept him there. And Jesus reminding his disciples of the days that they have walked and spent with him, served him, and witnessed what he could do and who he is. He reminds his disciples yet again of the importance of loving him and keeping his commandments. And I want to ask and I want to explore, is this really the terms of Jesus that he's talking to his disciples about? The arrangement that he's making, if you will do this, if you will love me, if you will keep my commandments, I will give you the Holy Spirit. And I will say, on a sense, yes, that is true. But when you and I are trying to make it as the receipt, what you and I get, that we've earned the Holy Spirit, I want you to realize that you and I do not deserve the gift of the Holy Spirit that God gives, that Jesus promises, that the gift of the Holy Spirit that is inside of us as believers. And yet, I know what Jesus is telling his disciples. You've walked with me. You've seen, you've heard, you've witnessed. Love me. Keep my commandments. We're not looking at Jesus talking to a group of people as how you get into the faith, as much as he's talking to his disciples, how you continue in the faith. What you've witnessed, what you've seen, what you've heard, do not let the circumstances of the next few days sidetrack you, beset you, overwhelm you. The love that you have for me, the integrity that you have towards my words, your faithfulness that you have right now while I am here with you, I want you to know that that's going to continue even in my absence. We talk about the quid pro quo, getting something for something. We do. We demonstrate our love to Jesus by believing, by trusting, by keeping Jesus' words. And we come to him in faith. And we're talking about life as a sinner being transformed to a saint through the power of the grace of God, that we don't earn it, but we simply trust that Jesus is who he tells us he is, the Son of God, that God gave, that whoever believes in him doesn't perish but has everlasting life. The trusting part. We don't lean on our strength, but we lean on everything that Jesus has done for us. And keeping his words, it's not something that it's a transaction that I did it, and now I can put it aside and never have to break that out again. How many times do you and I consult our insurance policies that we have in our house to protect our property, or your car insurance? Do you ever pull out your insurance declaration document and read over it and think, oh, every promise is mine? Oh, look at this. If I'm in an accident, there is no rental car that's going to come while my shop is when my car is in the shop being repaired. Isn't that comforting to me? Oh, look, if I have minimal liability coverage on my vehicle, it will pay for someone else's vehicle but not paid for mine. We don't read our insurance coverage that way. And yet sometimes we approach the faith that way, that Jesus is the place that I go to when I need him. And Jesus has commanded to his disciples, if you love me, keep my commandments. Stay with me. We realize that the arrangement is of grace. And we realize what Jesus is telling his disciples of what this grace looks like, how he's going to send another comforter. You know, I think what you and I tend to struggle with is that when we find moments in our life where our faith is weak because our problems are so overwhelming, and Jesus is not the first place that we go to, but rather the last place to which we turn for hope, for deliverance, for relief. You don't realize the gift when you are not following his leading. You don't realize who you have access to. I'm speaking to a room full of believers that do not struggle with this, right? That you've got it settled long ago that when I'm in trouble, where could I go? I go to the Lord and he's there. And yet there are some words that the doctors will say to you that can shatter you or shake you. I'm sorry, but it looks like it's cancer. Well, your banker, I'm sorry, but there's nothing there. A relationship, I'm sorry, I don't love you anymore. And you and I can take the difficult moments of life and they overwhelm us. And the first place that we want to stay, like the disciples who stayed in the boat when Jesus was walking on the water, is to stay in the boat, stay exactly where I'm at. And I don't realize how great this gift of another comforter is when I am not following Jesus' leading. But when I follow Jesus in truth, I see his grace provided in me and around me. The promise of this other comforter, I'd like to take just a few moments to look at the word that is used in our Bibles. In English, it's comforter. In the original language, it's parakletos. That word paraclete is a word that you and I do not use in our daily language unless we've heard a message on a paraclete. Not a pair of cleats, that's what you wear in soccer. The paraclete is two words that come together. Para meaning alongside of, and kalein meaning called. The one who's called alongside is the literal way to think about the comforter that is used in John chapter 14. It's the word that's before it, though, the another comforter. You know, there's another word in Greek language. Greek is very specific. The word that's used here is allos, and the other word that could mean another is hetero. There is two ideas here, and the language is fairly clear and pretty straightforward, that we're talking about another of the same kind. That would be allowed, or that's the understanding with the word allos. If you wanted to describe another of a different kind, that would be hetero. Hetero parakletos would be another comforter of a different kind. That is where a lot of people in the world try to find their hope, try to find their relief in the midst of a crisis. That's why a lot of times when news gets overwhelming to some people, rather than come to the Word of God to hit their knees, they'll drive off to the saloon, try to forget temporarily. No, another of the same kind is what I want to focus on this morning, because the Holy Spirit gift, this another comforter that is promised in John chapter 14, is different, yes, but it's the same. It's other, yes, but it's the same. And he's alternate too, but he's still the same. When we think about what we find in John chapter 14, we see Jesus himself describing the relationship of the Godhead. We see this language, which is very, very specific. Jesus, who is the same with the Father. If you're here on Wednesday night, there's your Easter egg. Jesus is the same with the Father, and the Holy Spirit is the same with Jesus. We have a relationship of subordination, but we have in substance of our God, the Father, our God, the Son, and our God, the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself describes for us that we are not getting a lesser or a knockoff or a different comforter of a different kind. We are getting a comforter. We'll receive, as he promises disciples, another of the same kind called alongside the disciples. And that word paraclete has behind it the idea of a legal advocate, like you would have someone representing you in a court of law. In Latin, that's very apparent, the idea or the construct of a legal advocate. But I think a lot of times the way you and I approach the idea of another comforter in our relationship with the Holy Spirit, and this is deficient to think of it this way, that our relationship is that of like a counselor, you know, like a camp counselor, someone who leads us when it's not free time, but when it's free time, we just go off and do our own activities. That's what I'm getting geared up for Camp Deer Lake and starting to think about that camp mode, and I'm thinking about the camp director and the camp counselor side of it. And it's really easy for us to think about the Holy Spirit as the go-to that we just follow when it's that time, that we need to follow the Holy Spirit. But the relationship is much deeper and is much truer than just a counselor that you go to when you need help, like you would say, like perhaps a marriage counselor. Our relationship is in trouble, and we'd like for you to help us to try to reconcile this. That is, in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And yet, when we think about the one that's called alongside of us, it's like that the Holy Spirit is here and he's available if I have access to him, not realizing that the promise that Jesus makes is that he's on the inside. He's the one who walks beside me, yes. He's the one who comforts me, yes. And he's the one who leads me. But he is not a cheerleader to cheer me on. He's the one who convicts me when I stumble and sin. And I'm so grateful for that relationship of the Holy Spirit that makes me feel miserable. And you know, that's how I pray for loved ones or people that I know that are away from the Lord or outside of the family. And I thank Lord, and I pray, Lord, would you please make them miserable in their sin so that they don't find a satisfaction or try to find a temporary satisfaction from the hope and the joy that only you can give. We do not need a cheerleader in our relationship as the Holy Spirit. And we don't need an advisor, someone that just makes recommendations to us. And yet we find in our spiritual walk that there have been moments when the Holy Spirit has impressed in us as believers that we need to say something, that we need to do, that we need to go and speak to that person, or we need to be generous, we need to share. And I want to remind you that the Holy Spirit in our relationship is far greater than just someone who gives us advice from time to time. The legal representation that we think about, he is the advocate. He is the one who is with us in Jesus' stead. Do you know what I need in my relationship in each and every day? I need Jesus. because I need Jesus, the Father reveals to the disciples through Jesus' words that he's going to send the Holy Spirit to them. And it's another of the same, not different. So we look back at John chapter 14. I wonder how to know the Spirit. How do you know inside you that that's not just a strange voice in your head or the speaking to your heart? How do you know that's the Holy Spirit and not just some mental deficiency? I'm going to tell you the difference for believers. So we trust the Son. We trust Jesus. That was the on-ramp that we look at here. If you love me, keep my commandments. My relationship with Jesus, my day-by-day walk with him, my realizing that Jesus expects something of me, and that's that I simply trust him. That I live in the comfort of his promise, not because I expect a reward at the end of the day, but because Jesus has given me everything that I need. And he alone is my hope. He alone is my comfort. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And if you want to know the Spirit, you've got to trust the Son. As we begin to move through this series, we'll see how that Holy Spirit comes to us. We understand when the Holy Spirit comes to us. We see in the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit coming to upon the disciples. And there was a great thing that happened in the church that day. But the comfort that Jesus promises his disciples and his believers, he's not going to leave us alone. And yet sometimes we try to achieve, we want the promise without the relationship. If you want to know the Spirit, trust the Son. And the gift of the Holy Spirit that God has given, it is found in John chapter 17, and the comfort that he abides in you. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. When I trust Jesus, and I know we have this expression, asking Jesus into your heart. That's a statement that means that I'm going to trust him, I'm going to follow him. He's going to be my Lord, he's my master, he's the one that I serve. And what he gives us, the gift of his Holy Spirit coming to our hearts, coming into our lives, it's a exchange that the world doesn't understand because the world doesn't know Jesus, doesn't follow Jesus, doesn't keep Jesus' commandments. And again, it's not about keeping commandments that we receive grace, that we've earned it. It's because of Jesus' grace that's possible for you and I to love him and to keep his commandments. The transformation that comes through that faith relationship when I put my faith and trust in him, loving him and keeping his commandments. It is entirely possible to live out your life and do all of the good things that Jesus describes in the Gospels. Living out your life the way Paul describes and applies it to the church. And to live a morally good life, but yet to not know the Savior. That'd be a tragedy. And along the way, to try to keep Jesus' teachings without the Holy Spirit guiding me, prompting me, whenever I have stumbled, whenever I have failed, or there's a deficiency in my life. The Holy Spirit coming to us is not just a promise that God makes lightly, but rather a great relief, a down payment, a promise to us that we are not alone, that we are not forgotten. And the promise of the Son is that Jesus is making here is that he is not going to leave his disciples without comfort. And there's another statement that they're going to gloss over perhaps, that I will come to you. That means he's going to go away. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. It is the promise of the Son who does not leave us without comfort, but it's that aspect that I want to look at that he will not leave us without comfort, that he will come to us. What does he mean when he says, I will not leave you comfortless? The idea of that, I think that you and I understand, are something that perhaps you might have worried about in your younger days, the thought, the fear of being an orphan. What would happen to me if I was cut off and left alone? I think that's a great reminder to children to think about the blessings of mom and dad and what you have in mom and dad's house. Mom and dad take care of you. Mom and dad provide for you. And the promise that Jesus makes here is that he is not going to leave his disciples abandoned as an orphan, cut off, forgotten. You're not going to be fatherless. Because you believe me, because you trust in me, because my Holy Spirit is in you, you will find the comfort with him, just as you have walking with me. The promise that the Holy Spirit will comfort the disciples is something that encourages my heart. Because the Holy Spirit is not a crutch that I lean on in times of turmoil or the times of trouble. But my relationship with Jesus, my relationship in trusting in the Son, loving the Father, following the Spirit's leading, it's a relationship that is a day-by-day relationship. Summed up in Jesus' love me, keep my commandments. It's that latter part, though, that I will come again. Jesus is giving a disciple a promise that he's going to leave before he comes back. You've got to. And while you're thinking about all of this is hard to come to terms with, I'm going to give you a comforter who's another of the same kind. He's not lesser. He's not a knockoff. He's the real thing. He's going to provide you comfort just as though I am here. He's going to be in you. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you, even in these dark days that are ahead. I find in the promise of the Holy Spirit and the gift of this comforter that's given, there is a promise for us along the journey. That promise is this. How do you know that you're following the Spirit's leading? Know Jesus. You know Jesus, you're going to see Jesus. You're going to realize his leading in your life. You're going to experience his comfort, not just in difficult moments, but in the calm, tranquil moments. Melina and I were able to go down to the coast last couple of days. We were down there at the beach, and I'm a little redneck today. I was wearing a t-shirt, and this collar on my neck is really bothering me. And I tell you that, and you're all thinking, oh, poor fella, he's standing up there complaining about being at the beach while I was here breathing all of the pollen. Don't you worry, the pollen was down there too. But sitting out there on the surf and just watching the waves wash in that moment, there was just such a wonderful moment of just peace. I went a little further down the beach and just sat there and I was praying and praying over the message, praying for you. And in that moment, it was such a wonderful, wonderful experience and a little bit of worship there. And I want you to know that the promise of the Holy Spirit is not the crutch that you go to just in difficult moments, but in every moment of life. John chapter 14, verse 19, yet a little while the world seeth me no more, but ye see me because I live. Ye shall live also. And at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, keep them. He it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of the Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. When I think about life that you and I live, even over these next few days, and the hardest part of finding that comfort is that you have to experience the difficulty to really know the depth of the Holy Spirit's comfort. Is there anybody in here that would sign up, Lord, I would really love to know you this week. I would really love to deepen my relationship with you this week. Please, Lord, let that happen, knowing full well that when you leave these doors, it could mean that the bottom falls out. And the gravity of life in this broken world would be enough to beset you, to see and to realize and to experience him picking you up and comfort you in that difficulty. Though the hardest part of finding comfort is, I think, in experiencing the difficulty. But the best part of the difficulty is experiencing the comforter. So do not discount life's hardships, for there's a purpose. We see Jesus in the difficult moments. And in the soft, easy moments, The best part of easy moments is experiencing the Comforter, because the Holy Spirit is not the one that you turn to just when you have nowhere else to go, but the one who's walking beside you, the one who's in you, the one who's leading you. The Holy Spirit. And the encouragement that I take from John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21, is that you are not abandoned. And that's why we go back in John chapter 14, verse 15, and John chapter 15, verse 21, we find it again. The relationship of loving Jesus and keeping his commandments. Do you know the Holy Spirit comfort, the Holy Spirit's presence, something that you and I realize when we realize who it is that's providing that comfort. And it's an opportunity for us, even in the difficulty, to see God's goodness and to talk to him, thank him for the goodness. I don't know how many times you all have taught me this lesson. Whether you're in a hospital bed or you're hurting, your heart's broken, wherever your difficulty may be, you say this time and time again. I've heard it. The Lord is carrying me right now, and I don't think I could go on without my church family praying for me. As you see, there's a relationship here that is something, there is an expectation for you and for me as believers. Not that we are just all receivers, but we are also sharers. And the big idea that we started out with this morning was that when Jesus makes a promise, he keeps his promise. He does not leave us alone. He's given us another comforter, another of the same. And he is going to leave, but he is coming back. And the deposit that he gives us of the Holy Spirit in our life is a guarantee, that guarantee each and every day that he is coming again. I believe he's coming soon. So the next few moments, I want to remind you the importance of finding comfort in your difficulty, finding comfort in your need. I think each and every one of us weighs that differently. I'm a man, I've got low threshold of pain. It doesn't take very much for me to need to find comfort very quickly. Some of you may have a high tolerance of pain, and you can endure a lot. But I want to tell you, wherever you are in that pain management spectrum, each and every one of us needs Jesus the same. Each and every one of us needs to follow Jesus the same. And not the same way that I'm following him, but the way that Jesus says for us to follow him, loving him, keeping his commandments. Don't miss out on the blessing, seeing the blessing, following the Spirit's leading, and finding comfort in your time of need. But it's not just for the purpose of not leaving us alone, but there's a real ministry opportunity. And that's the series that we're going in through. How does Jesus transform my difficulties? How does Jesus transform my triumphs? As an opportunity for me to minister in his name to another person. That's something we're going to explore throughout the series. And I want to remind you how important it is to share comfort from my need. Maybe the Lord has taken you through a difficult place and you have some kind of an understanding about where it's headed. You've experienced the hardship, you've experienced the difficulty, the Lord has brought you through it, and you've got a great testimony that you can share with someone. Maybe it's with another believer who's going to the same place. Lord, I know that this is where you were. I want you to know that I was exactly where you were, but the Lord brought me through it, and he's going to bring you through it too. Maybe it's with an unbeliever. You know, you don't have to hurt. You don't have to go through this life alone, that you can know the love, the comfort, the peace, the presence. Love Jesus. Keep his commandments. Trust him. Believe him. And follow him. As we close, may this be our prayer. Lord, I take you at your word.